Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee Keys and Evan Real Talk. Tonight, we got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about this weekend's upcoming card. We're going to have a new featherweight champ. We're going to talk a little bit of boxing tonight. And we're just going to have some fun today. What's going on, bro? How you doing today?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one for sure. I'm doing good, bro. I'm just chilling today. It's a nice Wednesday, you know, the hump day. So it's good. Everything's all chill over here. We're going to have a good show tonight for sure.
Yeah, man. So let's jump into it. Early on the group chat, me and you, we said we were going to talk a little bit of boxing today. You know, we said we're going to talk about Canelo's performance over the weekend. And I think you said his next fight is going to be against Caleb Plant. So what are your thoughts on Canelo and the Plant fight?
Well, that one actually wasn't Evan. That was actually Evan that said that. I don't even really know Caleb Plant. So Evan might have to come. When Evan gets in here, he can talk about that one because I actually don't
all right,
know
we'll,
that
all
guy.
Right. All right, that's what we'll do. But look.
Yeah, But I mean, Canelo, I didn't see the fight. I didn't see any fights that this past weekend. I didn't tune into the UFC fights. Then I didn't tune into the Canelo boxing card. But I heard it was to address the fight that just took place. You know, with Billy Joe Saunders. I'm not familiar with most of these boxing guys, but these fights is the first time I'm hearing of them. And these guys, Canelo fights, this is the first time that I hear of these guys when he fights them. So, you know, I heard it was like a doctor stoppage. And I don't know. Doctor stoppages don't really sit well with me, man. I'm not really a fan of doctor stoppages. And don't get me wrong. Before you say before anybody thinks anything, I'm not saying have a guy continue fighting if he's injured or if he breaks his hand or he has a broken orbital bone or, you know, one of his eyes is sealed shut, you know, from taking too many shots or anything. I'm not saying don't stop the fight. Stop the fight. But all I'm saying is that my issue with doctor stoppages is it puts an asterisk over that win for whoever got the doctor stoppage. Because to me, it's like it gets put on your record as a finish, and it's like you really didn't stop him. Like if he didn't get – it's kind of like when they had the – you know, to make an example, here's two examples from the UFC. When Ferguson beat Cowboy by doctor stoppage, I to this day feel like that was kind of a bogus win for Ferguson. You know, I felt like Cowboy was in the fight, and just because he blew his nose, his eye blew up, and they stopped the fight. It's things like that that are stupid to me. And then, you know, when Jorge Masvidal fought Nate Diaz, you know, at MSG, you know, a similar thing happened. Nate Diaz had this big cut over his eye, and then they stopped the fight because they said that it was bleeding too much. And it's like, man, Nate Diaz always gets cut. You know, he always has a cut in the same spot. You know, he cuts more easily than the average fighter, you know. So it's that ref just clearly, or that doctor, whoever, is not familiar with Nate Diaz because he always cuts very easily in his fights. We all know that. So, and he always looks like a bloody mess. But my point I'm trying to make, though, is that I just don't like doctor stoppages because I feel like it's kind of an unnatural win to me. I don't feel like it's really a win. You know, you didn't really stop them. I feel like they had to stop. You didn't really stop them is kind of how I feel about it.
Oh, well, I'm gonna go the other way on it. I think some doctor stoppages are good. Sometimes, you know, corners and fighters, you know, they want to go out on their shield, and the doctor is watching the fight from the cage side, and they probably, you know, can tell if somebody is absorbing too much punishment. And some doctor stoppages, I think, are warranted. But like you said, you know, if somebody beat up a person good enough, And the doctor stoppage, I think that's a win. But, you know, like you said, for Cowboy, you know, that was kind of like a freak thing that happened. And I think the referee that ref Nate Diaz fight that night, I just think he wasn't familiar with the fighters. So, but both of us, me and Keys, we have said in the past that we are in support of fighters' health and safety and wellness, not just while they're fighting. We want them to live productive lives after they get out of the cage. And sometimes corners don't protect fighters, and I think that's when the referee and the doctors have to. And, you know, sometimes things happen in the fight game.
And that's the thing, is that it's, you know, like I said, they have to be protected. But to me, it's, you know, like it just – that fight, I would want to see a rematch with that fight, because I'm just not a fan of the doctor stoppage. I'm not saying that it shouldn't happen. For the fighter's sake, it should happen, but I'm saying for the sake of the actual competition, I feel like it's not – to me, you kind of need closure after that. Is kind of how I feel about it. I know that's not the consensus, and the UFC and boxing don't feel that way. Nobody needs to care too much about my opinion, but I do, and you know, I just feel like it needs closure. Once you have a doctor stop, it's just kind of weak. You know what I'm saying? If we had if the Ngannou and Stipe 2 fight, you know, Stipe would have lost by doctor stoppage, I would have said, man, that is bogus. I would have said that's complete bogus, because I never want to see a title fight ending in a doctor stoppage. And I think a lot of us would feel that way. Like if it was, you know, your favorite UFC champion and he would have lose his belt by doctor stoppage, I feel like you may have some issue with that.
I think the magnitude of the fight may dictate, you know, certain cautions being taken or certain cautions being put in the wind. But if I think a guy or a girl, like, who was it that was fighting? It was somebody that was fighting. Somebody was fighting Amanda Nunes. And was it Amanda Nunes or was it Joanna? And her corner, she went to her corner and said she didn't have it. And the corner just sent her back out there and she got knocked out. She just ended up taking more punishment. And I remember me and
Raquel
you coming
Pennington.
On the show. Huh?
Raquel Pennington.
Yeah. And I remember we was talking about it and I was like, man, I just felt so bad that her corner sent her back out there when she definitely felt that she wasn't in it. And she just went out there and just got knocked out and took just some unadditional punishment. But I think the magnitude of the fight could, you know, throw caution to the wind, even though it shouldn't. But, you know, I just think it all depends on the floor of the fight and whether or not the person, how much damage the person took, how bad the cut is. Are they injured? You know, stuff like that. So I just think you just each case is an individual case. What up, Avery, man? How you doing, bro?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
Doing all right. What you think about what we were talking about doctor stoppages? You know, Keys feel that doctor stoppages, he don't like them. And I kind of said I don't care for them, but I'm all about the safety, the wellness, and protecting the fighter.
I think it really depends on, because it feels like most doctor stoppages are coming are from the cuts, but obvious. It really depends, you know, how bad the cut is. I think that's the main topic, really. I heard you guys talking about the Nate Diaz thing, and I just think that was a bad call. If you go watch, you know, Conor versus Nate, Connor, Nate got busted up plenty in that fight, and they kept it going. You know, you look at Tyson Fury and his one boxing fight before he rematched Wilder. They were globbing Vaseline in his eye because they could, they should have stopped that fight. Like, his cut was so much bigger than Diaz, but they let him go because they knew he was winning that fight. But it was just that big cut. I personally don't like him. I think it really just depends on the cut. If it's a big cut that the doctor can see is going to cause serious issues within, you know, the fighter's vision, because most of them are coming to the eye, then I can understand it. But other than that, they're whatever to me.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to a fight that I thought should have been stopped. But I know a lot of people felt different for me. Thiago Santos was fighting on zero legs against John Jones. And they let him go three more rounds with no knees. Know how dangerous that is? Especially with a guy named John, like a guy with like John that does those oblique kicks. And it was just like, man, Thiago was a warrior sticking it out. But, man, his career could have been ended that night.
I kind of think his career was ended, not to cut you off, Keys. Because, you know, after that fight and going through the surgeries that he's gone through, he hasn't looked good. Like, he fought against Glover, and his ground game was non-existent, and he looked hesitant. And then his fight against Alexander Rakic was terrible, and he just looked the shell of himself. And then now he's booked against Johnny Walker, and hopefully he can find his, you know, the hammer again. But I really think his corner letting him fight on those legs and then making that, you know, surgery much, much worse has affected him tremendously.
Yeah, he hasn't really looked too good. I mean, I think there's definitely something to be said about, you know, certain fights not being stopped when they should be, and then certain ones that are stopped when they shouldn't be. And that was a good way to kind of show that, because it's like, you know, they stopped Diaz when he, you know, had that cut over his eye versus Masvidal, when, to me, that fight should 100% should have kept going. You know, even though he was getting pieced up bad for those first two or three rounds and he was definitely losing, I don't think that he couldn't continue. Like, we're used to seeing Diaz be a bloodbath. You know, we're used to – he doesn't care, like, about that, you know. So it's – that was kind of soft, if you ask me. But then turning over and not saying that Thiago Santos can't continue when his legs are pretty much gone versus John Jones was kind of like, all right, you guys kind of dropped the ball on that one. You know, both of them were technically title fights, but one title fight you said – could continue, and then the other one you said could continue, and that one was actually probably upwards of 10 times worse of an injury that Santos had, if you ask me, versus just a measly cut over Nate Diaz's eye.
And plus in that Diaz fight, he started like coming around towards the end of that round where they stopped it. He started coming around. He had got a little bit more active. He landed some shots. You know, he was starting to come to life. But, you know, man, I just think it's subjective, because even if we go back to the Jimmy Crew, Anthony Smith fight, and, you know, when Jimmy Crew's knee gave out and he wanted to continue, I was glad the doctor stopped it, because he couldn't even put any weight on his knee. Although he wanted to go out there and do his thing, I thought that was a good stoppage also. But, Evan, you brought up the fact of Canelo Alvarez, you know, beating Billy Joe Saunders over the weekend, and I guess his next fight is against Caleb Plant. So talk about Canelo a little bit, bro.
Well, let me first off by saying, you know, I'm not the biggest boxing fan. I've been getting more into it recently. Honestly, I just like to watch combat sports, you know. But once again, you know, Canelo shows why he is the favorite in every fight, why he, you know, deserves that pound-for-pound record. It was a good fight. Once again, that fight was very concerning because I obviously watched it live, and you listen to the commentary and you listen to their scorecards, and some of them actually had, you know, Saunders winning. You look at the official scorecards, and I think Canelo was up by like 5 rounds to maybe 1, something crazy like that. So trying to judge a boxing fight is very hard, but the fight, it was fun to watch. Canelo looked great. Billy Joe Saunders even looked great. He just got caught with that clean uppercut to the eye, busted his eye socket, and, you know, congrats to Canelo. But as you mentioned, his next fight is going to be against Caleb Plant for, I believe, Caleb is the IBF welterweight champion.
Yep.
I don't know the whole case of why there's so many, you know, different federations or whatever you call it in boxing. But that is the last one for Canelo to conquer. I think it's going to be a great fight. I would love for Caleb Plant to stop that, and I would love for Caleb Plant to win that fight. But realistically, it seems like Canelo is destined to, you know, become the holder of every single belt, you know. So, I'm excited for it. I hope it gets made soon. You know, Canelo didn't really take any damage in that fight against Billy Joe, and I think Caleb is, recovering from an injury in his previous fight. I think he hurt his hand, so he should be good to go by, like, late 2021, maybe early 2022, hopefully this year. But I can probably see next year, just, you know, knowing boxing and how long it takes for them to, work stuff. But, if you got any thoughts, Lee, let me know.
I don't know, man. I think he had a quick turnaround from his last fight. But the guy that he fought, Eves Nehareem or something like that, he shouldn't have been in the same ring as Canelo. That guy, he just looked overmatched from the time they walked out to the ring until they rung the bell. So that guy was a mandatory challenger. But, you know, I thought Billy Joe, he did good for us. Actually, I'm watching the highlights right now. Billy Joe's a tough guy, man. But Canelo just, he's on another level. And he's been going on this next level since his loss to Floyd. But I think he beats Caleb Plant. I think his toughest fight is still the Charlo twin. I think that's his toughest fight. I think that's a fight that I want to see personally. I will watch the Caleb Plant fight, even though I think he's going to beat him. But like you said, man, you know, Canelo got all these belts, right? I mean, they even made up a belt for him. He's like the something that they made up. I can't even think of the name of it. They made up a title for him. I'm like, man, y'all need to stop, man. They got like, I'm looking at the highlights. He got 6, 7 belts. 7 belts. Really?
It's absurd.
Really? 7 belts.
Really is absurd.
In the UFC, you have 1 undisputed champion. Boxing, you got the IBF, WBA, WBC, WBO, the local gym, the boys and club, the boys and girls club representative. It's like, man, y'all need to stop, man. But it's just ridiculous, dog. But I do like that Canelo is actually fighting the next guy up. He's not going out there, you know, getting the easy fights. He's actually doing what we that like combat sports, what we crave for. You fight the next guy up, man. You don't dip and dodge and all that good stuff. And I like that about Canelo. But I'm gonna kick this one to Keys because this one that Keys, me and him, we've been talking about maybe for a long time. So finally, we get Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury for the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship. Fight is in August, correct?
Yeah, I heard that it's getting made for August. I still haven't seen the official flyer for it. Still haven't seen the official flyer, but the rumors say that it's confirmed. You know, they finally got the deal done, apparently.
Okay, so.
You know.
The end of that fight is rumored to be made.
Yeah.
What are your initial thoughts on the fight?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, one day ago, ESPN.com, they're saying Saudi Arabia, Joshua Fury, boxing fight set for August, Saudi Arabia. So ESPN said it. You know what I mean? I don't know. But there's other – the way they go back and forth is what makes me confused if the fight is – if the contract is signed or not. That's what really makes me confused because the headlines will tell you that they are and that the fight is, you know, in the works. But then when you look at them tweeting each other and when you look at them putting out Instagram posts, you would think that nothing is getting done. You know, the way these two guys have been talking, it makes it seem like there's a whole bunch of stalling going on. It just sounds like there's a whole bunch of stalling. But, no, the fight is set for August. No, I'm excited. You know, I forgot when they had, you know, it's big fights like this that I try to watch in boxing. I'm interested in the heavyweight fights. The Wilder, you know, I try to watch Wilder's fights most of the time. I forgot about his last Ortiz fight they played on TV. So I watched that one on TV, and then I missed his rematch with Fury. I went to a casino and I completely forgot that it was on. And then I end up hearing that Wilder got stopped in the rematch. So now they're gonna fight AJ gonna fight Fury. So this is an interesting fight. I think Fury is probably the best. I mean, just from my novice boxing perspective. You know, from my unexpert opinion, I think Fury's probably the best boxer and the best heavyweight boxer on the planet. This dude just seems – I feel like Joshua, the way he was able to get caught by that the way he got caught with that kid and that was able to happen, unless somebody wants to tell me that was a fix, and that it was all staged, and he just took a dive, which I don't really buy into those kinds of theories, but a lot of people do. Then I could see Fury stopping Joshua. I think it'll be a good fight. I'm interested to see, like, a tail of the tape and a face-off for this, so I could really see, like, how they compare to each other in size, because Joshua's a big dude, too. You know, I think they'll still be pretty close in size. Joshua will probably want to get a little bit bigger for this one if he can, probably put on some more weight for this one, I would think. Don't you think?
It all depends on what his strategy is. His strategy may be, if he want to stay at his size, his strategy is to probably try to use maybe some quickness or being able to move around on his feet, you know, footwork. But I don't think that's the best strategy to use against Joshua. Because Wilder came in small, and Joshua just leaned on him basically. I mean, Fury just leaned on him basically the whole fight, and then just wore him out. So it all depends on what his strategy is. But regardless of what his strategy is, I like Fury to win the fight. But I just think Fury is a better boxer. But Joshua... I've been weary of Joshua since he got knocked out by Ruiz. So, I don't know. But I'm just glad the fight is being made and that it's a cross-promotional fight. So, hopefully, these promoters learn that, hey, there is money to be made if you make fights with boxers outside of your circle, i.e., Errol Spence Jr. versus Terrence Crawford. That fight needs to happen. It's probably one of the biggest – it probably will be the biggest fight in boxing outside of this Fury Joshua fight because it's in Saudi Arabia. But Evan, what's your thoughts on Fury and Joshua, bro?
I'm excited for it, you know. I feel like, you know, heavyweight boxing finally kind of, you know, took off after a while of kind of just being a little stale, you know, with Fury coming back, you know, the Wilder fights, Anthony Ruiz taking out Joshua, then Joshua coming back, taking the belt, seeing the transformation of Ruiz, and just now we're finally getting that fight. So, no, I'm excited for it. I did see that they're looking at August. I think August 4th or August 6th or something like that. So, no, man, I'm excited. I hope it happens. I feel like, you know, I would like Tyson Fury to win, but I definitely won't sleep on Joshua. You know, it seems like everyone, you know, just has a lot of faith in Fury, but you never know, just with boxing and just combat sport in general, you never know. So, I mean, like I said, very excited. Can't wait for it to happen, and it's going to be a good one.
All right, man. So, this weekend, we got about 30 minutes left. This weekend, we have a big-time card in the UFC. We have Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler for the, what's that, the lightweight championship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for Khabib's title.
Yep. Which would be co-main evented with Tony Ferguson taking on Beneil Dariush. Then we have
I just want to say one thing, too. Is that me and Evan actually have a doubleheader bet for this doubleheader here, this lightweight doubleheader. I was thinking about it in the shower earlier today, no homo. I was thinking about it in the shower. No. I wasn't thinking about Evan. So look at this. I was thinking about in the shower earlier today, no homo. I was thinking about how I love how the UFC in the past couple of years, we have had this trend, this ongoing trend of having a lightweight title fight and then having a Tony Ferguson fight co-maining right underneath that lightweight title fight. You know, it's probably the second, if not third time that that's been arranged in the past couple of years, and I really appreciate that every time it happens. So I just want to put that out there for this card. And me and Evan have a bet on the top two fights. You know, we had the Ferguson and Dariush fight. We have a bet there, and then we have a bet on the lightweight title. So I just want to put that there. So continue on. Let's get the card.
All right. Actually, we do have some interesting fights on this card. Shane Burgos taking on Edson Barboza. I'm really not a fan of the two other fights on the main card because I really don't know these people. Matt Snell taking on Rodrigo Bartorin. So I'm quite sure Evan is going to give us some insight into that one. And then we got Caitlin Chukagan taking on Viviana Araújo. Then on the prelims, the main event is Jacare Souza taking on Andre Muniz. And we also have Andre Lee taking on Antonio Shevchenko on the prelims. So, yeah, man, this card is actually pretty deep, man. So let me ask you guys, which fight are you guys going to have your eye on?
Isn't Shane Burgos UFC.com shows Shane Burgos on the main card now?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's fighting Edson Barboza.
He's on the main card, right?
Yeah.
Man, that might be the one I have my eye on, real talk. That might be, man, that's a good fight, man. Burgos and Barboza is a damn good fight, man. That might be my pick. To be honest with you, I'll take a look real quick, but I can go tell you off top. That might be, yeah, I think that one, I'll say, okay, ready? So for the prelims, I'll say my prelims pick is Lando Venata and Mike Grundy is my fight to have my eye on for the prelims. And then for the main card is going to be that Shane Burgos and Edson Barboza fight. Those are my two fights.
Okay. What about you, Evan?
I'd like to, obviously, Shane Burgos, that's my guy, you know, he trains out of Team Tiger Shulman, so, you know, he's gonna destroy Barboza, but, you know, definitely that one, and, also, Actually, the women's bout on the prelims, the Andrea Lee versus Antonia Shevchenko, I think is going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how Antonia has continued to evolve, you know?
Yeah, I think the fight that Omaha Mile is the co-main event, yeah. Ferguson just hasn't looked good in his last couple fights. I know, like Keys talked about earlier, you know, the Cerrone fight was kind of a fluke win. The Pettis fight was kind of a fluke win, too. Pettis was actually, you know, Pettis was in there. So I want to see how he looks. You know, is he back to being the Tony Ferguson that we all grew in love? Or is this new Ferguson the Ferguson we got to get used to? I think one thing that we got to take into account too is Keys brought this up, and I'm just gonna bite it real quick. Is there going to be fans? Is Tony a guy that fights better when there's fans? Keys seems to think he is, and I kind of sort of buy into that. So I'm looking forward to see how he looks against Benil Dariush in front of fans. If he doesn't look good, man, I don't know where he goes after this fight. I don't know what you do with him because he still is a name, but I don't see him fighting guys outside of the top 10. You know what I'm saying? So, and he definitely ain't going to want a title shot. So what do they do with him? So I'm just looking to see what happens with Ferguson and the evolution of Ferguson. So let's see what happens on Saturday.
All right. You guys want to get into predictions?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm about to do that now. All right, man. Nope. The first fight on the main card, we got Shane Burgos taking on Edson Barboza. Burgos is a -135. Edson Barboza is a +115. Evan, who you got?
Shane Burgos. I think he dominates this fight. I think his size, power, durability, cardio, and fight IQ is going to be just the perfect recipe to defeat Barboza. You know, Barboza starts off very fast, very strong early, but also his power never really deteriorates. He's always, as you saw in the Kevin Lee fight way back when, he was still able to land that spinning back kick to the head, so his power was always there. But I think Shane's pressure and the fact that he won't tire out like Barboza has in the past against, you know, multiple fighters, I think that's going to play perfect into Shane's hand. And I think instead of a fight of the night, I really think Shane's going to get a performance of the night. You know, it's going to look outstanding. He's going to put a statement win, you know, let the featherweight division know that he is here, that Josh Emmett fight was an incredible fight, that he won. Sorry, the judges got that one wrong. And I'm taking Shane Burgos by second round TKO.
All right, Keys, who you got, bro?
So I saw a tweet from Barboza, or was it an interview he did? I saw it on YouTube a little while ago. And he said that he, you know, even though Chris Weidman got, you know, he had that really bad injury and he broke his leg. I'm not sure exactly what the injury is, but he said, even, you know, regardless of how Weidman got injured, is not going to discourage him from throwing kicks in this fight. I think if Barboza does incorporate his kicks, because as of late, I mean, he still incorporates the kicks. He still has the body kicks there. When he does use them, we can see, well, we have seen how dangerous he is. Like when he fought Dan Hooker, and he was just lighting Dan Hooker up to the body. I mean, with strikes and kicks, and he just dominated Dan Hooker so bad. I think that was one of Lee's favorite UFC fights in a while. When Barboza beat the brakes off Dan Hooker, that was Lee's favorite fight in quite a while. So that's why I wanted to bring it up. But I think if Barboza implements his kicks here, he could have more of a chance. I'm going to go still with Shane Burgos, though. I think – I don't know what their ages are because UFC.com doesn't like to tell you the age, but I would assume Burgos is a good amount younger. Also, he has less miles on him in his career. Barboza has a lot more mileage on him as far as his career, 30 fights. Burgos, 15 fights. So I think Burgos will win. I'm going with the same pick as Evans, second round, 2KO. I am going to make another offer to Evans to add this fight to our lineup of bets for this weekend and possibly extend it to three and do a best out of three, and I'll take Barboza, even though I'm picking Burgos.
That's cool with me. We'll break it down in the group chat.
Okay. I'm going against you guys. Going against you guys for all the reasons that Evan stated about Burgos. He said fight IQ. He said Barboza comes out fast. And I'm going to go with what Key said. I think if SM Barboza comes out and establishes kick game, that leads to a lot more offense for him. And if he can do that, he will have Burgos in there thinking. And when you got a guy in there thinking, then guess what they're not doing? Fighting. So I'm going to go with my man. I'm going to go with Edson Barboza, unanimous decision, split decision. I got a lot of Edson Barboza in this fight.
Yeah, Evan, I'm thinking we could do a best of three. We could possibly do a best of three wins, take all. So the number doesn't go up and down. That kind of eliminates that up and down factor when you're betting like, X amount on this fight, then X amount on that fight, X amount there. It won't have that fluctuation. So it'll just be a clear cut winner. Unless we get some kind of bogus DQ, like that Sterling and Jan fight.
Yeah.
If that happens, I think we both need to, donate to a charity or something.
Hey. I love a good charity.
Evan, I think if that happens, we both need a Cash App Lee. I think Lee wins if there's a DQ.
Oh, man.
We're going to Cash App Lee if that happens.
All right, man.
No, most definitely. You mind if I break down the women's fight, Lee?
Go ahead. I was just about to say, next up we got Caitlin Chookagian versus Vivian Araujo. Chookagian is a -140 to +120 for Vivian, who's 10-2 going against 15-4 Chookagian. Talk to us about it, Evan.
So, Vivian came to UFC. Her debut was back at UFC 237 at bantamweight. She was able to get a knockout in the third round, and it looked great. But then she dropped down to flyweight. And since dropping down to flyweight, she beat Alexis Davis by decision. She lost a unanimous to Jessica Ai, and then she picked up two more decisions against lower-level talent. I think that knockout at bantamweight really kind of set her up, and now she just really hasn't looked that good as of late. And she's 34, which, a lot of the female talent that comes into the UFC, like debuting talent, most of them are a lot younger than the men that are debuting. They're in their, early 20s. So 34 is very interesting to see. But regardless, on the other side, you have Caitlin Chookagian, 32. She's coming off, I think she's coming off the loss to Andrade.
She
lost to Andrade. She got TKO'd by Andrade to the body, but then at UFC 255, she picked up the win against Cynthia in that horrible fight. And I don't mean horrible like it was just like a – it was a boring fight, but it was in an empty arena, and you could just hear her screaming every strike, so it was just so tiresome. I don't think anyone cared to watch. I would love to root for her. She does win. She doesn't have that many losses. The loss to Jessica Ai, the loss to Valentina, to Andrade, to Liz Carmouche. She's losing to, respected top talent, title challengers. So it's not like she's losing to Chump. But I just don't think her style is going to work. It didn't work against Valentina, and I don't know how much longer it's going to work. But regardless, for this fight, I think it's a pick 'em. I think they're both decision fighters. And just for the fun of it, I'm going to take Vivian by decision because I really don't care, not to sound like an.
I really don't think you can use a fighter's fight against Shevchenko because she's so much better than most of the girls in her division. So you really can't use that as a measuring stick. But I understand what you're saying. And I am going with Chookagian. I think Chookagian's style is boring, but it is effective against anybody whose last name is a Shevchenko. I like her in this fight, going against Vivian. They both like to wrestle though. And you never want to go against a Brazilian in a grappling match. But I'm going to go with Caitlin, man. I think Caitlin gets it done, man. I think she wins probably like a split decision, probably in a super boring fight. But I'm going to take her. I'm going to take Chookagian probably in a unanimous decision in a boring fight that we going to probably be like, this is why fights like this should be on the main card, that, you know, it should be probably should be the main event of the prelims. Sometimes women fights don't live up to the billing. Sometimes they shoot to the moon, you know. But I think this is going to be one of those fights we probably be like, wow, y'all probably could have put somebody else in this spot. But I'm going to take Chookagian, man, in a unanimous decision.
Evan, what was your pick? Did you have, it looks like, Arejo?
Your decision.
Was it split decision?
Just decision, just unanimous.
All right, because I'm tweeting out our picks for our Twitter page right now. I'm tweeting out our main card picks. That's why I always ask.
Nice, nice, nice.
But
you're good.
Anyways, if you happen to be looking at Twitter while I'm speaking, you probably just saw my pick because I tweeted out my pick. If anybody saw it, you probably just saw it before I even say it right here. But I'm going with Arejo to knock out Chookagian in the very first round. I was looking through their tail of the tape, and one thing that I think Chookagian has a big advantage is her leg reach. She's much longer, and I think she could implement some kicks in this fight that could probably, you know, and if she were to be able to take Arejo down. She could maybe have an edge there too. Also, she's a lot taller, so I think her just being a lot longer and just that could be an advantage that she would have. But I looked at Arejo's stats; she has 100% takedown defense, so I don't think Chookagian is going to have an easy time getting her down. And she looks to be, you know, she finishes at a much higher percentage in KOs and submissions. So I think Arejo is going to come out and knock out Chookagian in the very first round in like a highlight reel type of moment.
Okay. All right, man. Moving on to the next fight on the card. I really don't know too much about these two guys. Matt Snell, 15-5, against Rogério Butarin, although his name sounds familiar. Let me see who he fought last. We got Matt Snell at a -160, Butarin at +135. Coming at you, Evan. Matt Snell versus Rodrigo Butarin. Who you got?
So, this fight's a bantamweight. On the UFC.com Google, it says it's pretty sure both of these guys, or at least Rogério, is a natural flyweight because if you look at his record, he just lost to Kai Kara-France at flyweight. So maybe this fight just got taken place, got put together last minute, so they're just going up a weight class. Rogerio's actually, I think, I'm pretty sure he's a big-time grappler. He's a Brazilian. Yeah, he's got 11 submissions. His last two fights, he lost to Ray Borg, and he lost to Kai Car France. But in the Kai Car France fight, he was
winning.
He was winning. If you look at the Wikipedia page, Kai Car France knocked him out with 5 seconds left. And the stoppage was controversial, if you go back and watch it. But regardless of all that, I think Rogerio is going to get it done. I think he's going to be able to get Schnell down and just kind of out-grapple him. And, hopefully he gets some – I'm going to say he gets a submission in, like, the second round.
Evan, that's actually – Oh, you go first. Go first. My bad.
No, I wasn't going to – I was just going to make a statement. I don't think his last fight was controversial because I'm looking at the highlights right now and Carver first knocked him out. He face-planted, tried to get back up, and face-planted again. So – I think that was like a legit knockout. But go ahead, Keys.
Yeah, so most of these people, like I feel like I've seen every single fighter on the roster fight at least once. I watched enough cards, you know, since UFC 200. I think I've watched almost every single UFC pay-per-view card. You know, so I've watched pretty much everybody on the roster. But I just don't remember these guys. You know, I remember seeing Von Torenf. I remember seeing the name, you know, on the bottom half of the screen. Same thing with Schnell. I feel like I've written an article about Schnell before, maybe in his earlier career a couple of years back. But I just don't remember much about these guys. But off of not really being able to remember, in these type of fights, usually the smaller guy wins. I'm going to go with Von Torenf to win with the same pick as Evan with a second-round submission for Von Torenf.
Man, I don't even know, dog. Both of these guys have a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighting style. Schnell is 3 inches taller. Schnell is coming off a win, whereas Batorin is coming off of 2 losses. Maybe Batorin is a guy that maybe he's just one of them guys that can't beat bigger names yet. And I don't think Schnell is what you would call a bigger name. Oh, man. Damn. I really don't know, man. I'm going to go with Schnell, man. I don't know why. I'm going to go with Schnell to win this fight. I think he keeps the fight on the ground. Nah, but Bartorin's strike accuracy is better. Man, I'm going with you guys, man. I'm going Rogerio Bartorin, unanimous decision. He's going to take him down. He's going to dominate the fight using a little bit of ground and pound. And I'm going to take Bartorin to win this fight, man. Unanimous decision. Done. Watch Snell win because we all pick Bartorin. All right, Keys, coming at you for this one, man. Cobain event. Tony Ferguson, plus 145. Benil Darius, minus 170. 20-4, right. Darius going against 26-5 Ferguson. Who you got?
All right, so this is what I see happening. This fight, I don't think is – I don't need to get technical with this one. I don't really think I need to get technical with this one because this is just – I have a strong feeling about this. So this is what I see happening. Tony Ferguson is in a place now where his back is against the wall. You know, 2-fight skid after like a 12-fight win streak. So he's 0-2 in his last two. And he was he finished? No. He was finished once and he lost by decision, but he was still dominated. Back against the wall and fans are back. I do believe what I said before. I still believe it that Ferguson, you know, he feeds off the crowd much like Conor McGregor does, which is why I think that would still be a really great fight to make one day, Ferguson and Conor McGregor, because they both are guys that need, you know, 15,000 fans in attendance, you know what I'm saying, to put on their best performance. You know, I was watching Ferguson on YouTube, the free fight. They got Ferguson and Lando, Ferguson's Lando fight, which is a great fight. You guys should go watch that if you want to see some great some Lando violence, some Lando-Ferguson violence. But, you know, in the Lando fight, you saw him, you know, there was this moment where Lando drops Ferguson like three times in a row. And Lando took that fight on short notice, I believe. That was actually, I want to say, Lando's first ever fight in the UFC. Can you imagine it being your first ever fight in the UFC and they say you're going to fight Tony Ferguson?
On short notice.
Believe? Yo, props to Lando, man. He has balls, man. That's crazy. You got the first fight in the big leagues and they tell you to fight one of the baddest, scariest, ninja-like guys that is on the entire roster. That is unbelievable. First fight in, you got to fight the boogeyman. That's just crazy. So, but you see Ferguson get hit with a shot, and then he gets up, gets hit with a shot again, and then rolls, couple like ninja rolls in the cage.
Oh, yeah, I remember this fight.
Oh, my goodness. He got hit like with three shots back to back to back, got knocked down, but then rolled each time. You know, like he got knocked down, got back up, knocked down again, rolled out of the way, got hit again, falls down, rolls out of the way. So if it wasn't for that ninja ability, he would have got finished right there. You know what I'm saying? Most, nine out of 10 guys would have got finished right there. You know, so what I think Ferguson's going to do here, okay, I think Ferguson is going to have a very, very good performance, and he is going to batter Beneil Dariush. I hate to say it. I have him battering Beneil Dariush in this fight. I think he's going to put on a great performance. Ferguson is coming back strong, very, very strong. And what I see going with this one is not a doctor stoppage, because I said I don't like those. We're going to go with Tony Ferguson. I'm going to say one of my old favorites, old reliable. Third round TKO. I'm going to say Tony Ferguson, third round TKO in a more or less dominant performance. I will have him up 30-27 at the time of the stoppage, you know, going into the end of the fight. So Ferguson, third round TKO for me, and then going up, you know, 1-0 or 1-1 at me and Evan's three-fight bet. So that'll be a good one right there. That's my pick.
All right, Evan, who you got, bro?
I forget who I have the bet on for me and Keys' bet. I don't remember who I picked. But
you
have a prediction.
For the sake of our bet, guys, I'll just tell you this. For the sake of for the listeners and for Lee, too, because he's probably unaware of this, our picks was this. Evan, me and Evan are going with the so far the title fight and the co-main, and I think we just – we're about to agree on adding Shane Burgos and Barboza. But anywho, Evan got first pick on the main event. He picked Michael Chandler, so I have Charles Oliveira. And then for, you know, I made the stipulation that since he had, I think he had the favorite in the co-main event, I was like, I'll pick the favorite in the co-main, so I'll take Ferguson. I think Ferguson is like a, you know, 1-point favorite or something like that. So I have Ferguson, and yeah, you have Dariush in our bet, but that doesn't change your pick here. You could pick whoever you want.
Right. That's okay. I have a feeling I had Dariush, but I don't know if Lee just said it, but I know someone on Twitter said it, but people wonder how much of a different fighter Tony is when there's fans in the arena. That's the biggest thing. You know, he hasn't looked good when there's no fans. You know, his fight against Justin, he didn't look very good. And then obviously the complete outclassing against Charles Oliveira was very sad to see. You know, he had his reasons for why that fight went that way. But regardless, it's going to be interesting to see him fight off that energy, you know, feed off the energy of the crowd, packed house. But that being said, I think I'm going to go with my pick and my prediction, and I'm going to go with Dariush. I think we're just going to see just a three-round crazy decision for Dariush, but I think it's just going to be, you know, just a wild fight. You know, Joe Rogan's going to go out of his office rocker. DC's going to, you know, try to call a fight too early. But, yeah, I'm going to take Dariush by decision.
Oh, man. Actually, yeah, Evan, I did say that Keys had brought up that Tony Ferguson may be a crowd fighter. I'm kind of sort of leaning towards that way. But I'm leery, man. I'm leery. Ever since he changed his camps up, man, he's been on a losing streak. And I don't know whether or not he's training himself, what kind of training his partners are doing or his corner people. I just don't know. But I'm going to go with Tony Ferguson, man. I'm going to go with Ferguson to beat Beneil Dariush. I think the one thing Ferguson has to be leery of in this fight is Dariush is really, really slick in his takedowns and submissions. And he got kind of like sneaky power also. I think Tony needs to use his reach advantage early in the fight and maybe do some unorthodox stuff, you know, probably towards the end of the rounds. But outside of that, I want to see Tony back in there with fans. I'm buying into the notion that he's a crowd fighter. So, Ben, they're going to have a live crowd. I'm going to say Tony wins an exciting, action-packed fight against a very game Dariush by unanimous decision. And, man, I just want to see the old Tony, man. But I think if he loses this fight, like I said earlier, what do you do with him? Because he's still a name, and I don't see him accepting fights against guys not in the top 10. So you can't have him fighting up-and-coming guys. I just don't see that happening. But maybe if he loses this fight, maybe I get my fight at the end of the year, Tony Ferguson versus Max Holloway. Maybe I get that in the last quarter. Maybe they work that out. So, hey, I've been hoping for that fight, wishing for that fight. But maybe we get it if Ferguson loses this fight and Max decides to go up. All right, main event time. Michael Chandler versus Charles Oliveira. Oliveira at 30-8, minus 130. I can't believe he's the favorite against Michael Chandler, 22-5, plus 110. Coming at you this time, Evan, who do you got?
Yeah, just like our bet, Keys, I'm taking Chandler. I'm sure, as you guys know, I've been singing Chandler's praise since before he got into the UFC. I've been a fan of his back when he knocked out the other Pitbull brother and then went on to, you know, sadly lose to the other Pitbull.
Patricio
Pitbull. Yeah. Been a fan, you know, he's a top guy, you know, I've always liked him. I've always wondered, you know, how good he would be if he ever came to the UFC. He was one of those guys that I always thought his talents were being wasted in Bellator because of the competition that he trains with. Usman, previously, Burns, you know, he trains out of Henry Hoof. It's just nonstop talent at that gym, so... So excited for him to finally be in the UFC. And, you know, coming in and putting out Dan Hooker in the first round to where, you know, Dan Hooker went five rounds with Poirier, five rounds with Felder, and didn't get knocked out in either of those. And then Chandler comes in and puts it out in the first round. That's a statement right there. And I think he does it again. I think he continues his streak. He's currently on a three-fight win streak. All finishes on the first round, and I think he gets it done again. I think he's going to knock Charles Oliveira out in the first round.
Wow, okay. Whew. Man, first round. Well, very consistent. I feel that that's the only way he normally wins his fight since he has to do it in the first round. He, to me, if he doesn't finish a guy in the first round, you see him wondering and thinking in the ring. I think my man, Charles Oliveira, I think this, I don't know, I'm hoping the spotlight isn't too shiny for him. I'm really hoping that. But, oh man, I can't believe this, man. I'm going with Chandler, man. I'm gonna say Chandler wins the fight. I think he catches Oliveira in the second round, early in the second round, knocks Oliveira out. And then we go back to thinking, are the lights too bright for our guy, Charles Oliveira, when he fights big names? Outside of Tony Ferguson, he has never beaten a big name. So I hope Charles does well for himself. I really do. But I'm going to take Chandler, man, second round KO. All right, Keys, take us home, bro.
Yeah, so, you know, this is going to be, you know, I fully expect Evan to get a point, you know, in our three-point contest, what I think is going to be a three-point contest. We might even have to extend it to a four-point contest. We'll have to look at some of these other fights. But maybe even the Lando fight. We'll have to see. But so I think Evan gets a point in this fight. Chandler's going to win. I just feel like if Chandler would have not win this, I feel like the universe would just, like, the earth would tilt off its axis, man, if Chandler does not win this fight. I feel like he's been, like, perfectly aligned to, like, get a fight that he is supposed to win. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he's fighting a guy that really isn't on his level as far as, like, overall, like, being an overall fighter. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Oliveira is really not a guy that Chandler would have expected to fight for the belt. You know, I think Chandler was expecting to fight the Fergusons or the Poiriers and McGregors, like somebody who can also knock him out. You know, I would be really shocked if Oliveira would have knocked out Chandler. You know, I just don't feel like he has that in him to do that. Even though his striking has gotten a lot better, I just don't think he has the power to knock out Chandler. And I think he can submit him. But I think Chandler is going to avoid the fight going to the ground because he knows how dangerous of a threat Oliveira is once he gets you on the mat, especially if he gets in a dominant position. So I think Chandler is going to avoid the, you know, going to the ground. He'll probably stuff Oliveira's takedowns, keep the fight standing, butcher him on the feet, old McGregor style. And I'm going to go with the same nod as Lee with, you know, Chandler becoming the new undisputed lightweight champion by knockout in the second round. You know, I think Oliveira is going to go clean out. You know, it's not going to be controversial. He's going to go out. You know what I mean? Chandler is going to hit him with a big shot. You know, possibly even like a head kick or something like that. I could see a head kick. You know, Chandler throwing a kick in there just to try to switch it up on Oliveira. So I think Oliveira is going to be ready for that. He's going to be ready for the striking exchanges, and he's going to expect Chandler to come out heavy in the very first round and throw his big shots. So I think Oliveira will weather that in the first round, but I think Chandler will switch it up on him, and maybe even possibly Chandler might even fake a takedown, see him doing something like that and catching Oliveira and putting his lights out. So I see something Chandler by some type of tricky KO in the second round, and if I had to put my finger on it, I'd say he fakes the low shoot and throws a head kick before Oliveira can really fully react to it. That's what I expect.
Okay. I think Chandler might want to be careful shooting on Oliveira because Oliveira is so good on the mat. I think this is one fight where Chandler wants to keep the fight standing. I don't think he want to mess around too much on the mat against Oliveira. But Evan, any last words, bro?
No, man. You know, I'm just, you know, thankful. You know, great show. Very happy, you know, got to do this one. Stoked for the fights this weekend. They're just you know, they're going to be great. You know, I'm bummed that we missed out on a few fights that got pushed that were really stacking this card. But nonetheless, this is going to be a good one. Yeah, can't wait. And, yeah, I'll see you guys on Saturday.
All right, Keys, any last words, bro?
Yeah, man, you know, the same last words I always got. Thank you to the people who listen to us. I appreciate all the listeners. Enjoy the card this weekend. It's going to be good. I know I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm in great spirits going into the weekend. You know, it's been a pretty good week so far. So, and, yeah, anybody who's, you know, going through dark times, you'll get through it. You know, you got to make some lifestyle changes, exercise more, eat healthier, you know, cut off talks or lazy shifts and try to just practice an overall healthier lifestyle, not just physically but mentally. So that's what I got for the people, you know, and that's it.
And I'm going to stay with what I say, man. Positive people with positive energy yield positive results. I love doing this show. Broke down the fights for the main event this weekend. Talked a little bit of boxing. Also, COVID is still real. The vaccine, that's a personal choice. So we ain't going to tell you to either get it or don't get it. That's totally up to you. Still practice social distancing and wear your mask to further notice. That being said, everybody have a good weekend. Be safe. Take care of each other. And as always, a closing, Lee Keys and Evan Real Talk. We always end the show on a peace.